I remember our lesson tonight is, really? Like, somebody will tell you something that's kind of out there, and you're like, really? Are you going to? Or they'll say something, and you're like, really? I'm not really sure I'm believing this, you know? And I think sometimes, you know, I look at myself and the way that I deal with God and the way that oftentimes I do my own thing and what I want to do. And I look at myself and I go, really? I mean, this is your God. This is what he's like. And you give him this little respect, or you follow him this far away. You do so many things that are for yourself and for your own reasons and for your own selfishness. Really? You're going to live like this when this is your God and this is what he's like? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is if we're going to claim that we believe in God, and the God that we believe in is like he is, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, is what he's like, then do we really live that way? Do we really live like our God is this kind of God? And if somebody understood what our God was really like, and we told him, this person, that we believed in God, and they knew what he's really like, would they look at us and go, really? Seriously? You're going to claim that you believe in God, and then you're going to live like this? Oftentimes, just the way that I respond to him and the way that I live, I look at myself and I'm like, really, Anthony? I mean, God has revealed all these things to you. He's taught you so much. Really, is this is how you respond? And that's kind of where this has come from. Over the last week or two, the Lord has really kind of hit me with this idea. And I want us to think about what our God is really like. We're going to look at a bunch of words. Some of them are big words, but you know, these words kind of summarize some of the ideas about what we believe about God and what he's really like. And I think it's important that we think about this and we think about what our God is really like and ask him to help us to perceive him. And these words that we'll look at tonight will kind of help us understand some things about him, and a lot of these things are very different than us. So as we're looking at what God is like, and thinking about whether or not we respond to him appropriately for what he is like, let's think about how somebody would respond to us if we told them and they knew us and God really well. Would they go, really? Or would they go, yeah, I can see that. You actually act like your God is like this, that the God you believe is this kind of God. Let's look at what our God is like. The first thing is that our God is a triune God, or a Trinity. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is something that we talk about some, but it's something that we need to really think about. And when we think about it, we can see, you know, in God these amazing things. Like God the Father in the Trinity is really seems to be the one that he makes the plan. It's his will. He's the one that kind of gives the guidance, and he's the one that makes the plans for everything. And then God the Son, even though he is equal with God the Father and they created everything together, it was through the Son that he created things. It's through the Son that he provided for us sinful people a sacrifice for our sins so that we could be his children rather than his enemies. And then there's God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is so amazing in that he has come and lived within our bodies. He has indwelt us. He's possessed these bodies that we walk around in, these sinful bodies that we walk around in. And he's willing to call us his people and to come and actually make his house inside of our bodies. That's an amazing thing. This is what our God is like. God the Father is transcendent. He's on the throne. God the Son is at his right hand. He died for our sins. He became a man. He took our sins upon him. Received from the Father the wrath that we deserve. The Holy Spirit has come and lived within our bodies. And this God that lives within us is the same God as God the Father and God the Son. They're all one. They all have the same attributes. All these other things we're going to study about are attributes of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The one who lives in our body is this kind of person as well. Do we act like this is what our God is like? Do we respect him as we should? Do we recognize the amazing thing that it is that the Father created all things and and made this plan, and the plan of salvation included in that, gave his own son for us, sent his own spirit to live within us. It's an amazing thing that our God has done. And he's an amazing God, and the way that he exists in three parts, yet one God, is an amazing thing as well. One thing that's interesting about this God of ours is that he is self-existent. When Moses was asking God there at the burning bush, well, what do I tell these Egyptians? I mean, this Pharaoh is probably just going to kill me. He's going to cut off my head or something when I go in there. What do I tell them? Who do I tell them sent me? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Who else can say that? Nobody. He's the only one. Every other being that exists in creation is who they are because God made them. Nobody made God. He just exists in and of himself. All the rest of us exist because we were created by him. He is the only one that can say, I am who I am. He just exists. Always has, always will. That brings up the next thing. He's eternal. In Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Our God has always existed. And this same God always will exist. We are so finite. We have such a clear beginning and end, birth and death. It's kind of hard for us to comprehend this idea of a being who has always existed and always will exist. From everlasting, from eternity to the past, to eternity into the future, our God is God. He is who he is, always has been. We're so bound by time to try to comprehend a being that is totally outside of time. Time did not exist. He created time when he created the universe. You know, this idea that we have of time is based on the movements of the stars and the earth and all those things. You know, a day is a day because that's how fast the earth spins around, right? A year is a year because that's how long it takes the earth to go around the sun. All those things that we perceive of as time are part of creation. God is outside of that. He was before that. He'll be after that. He made time. He's eternal. He just is. He's the only thing that exists just because he exists. Everything else exists because he created it. Not only is he eternal, lasting forever, but he's infinite. That's a different idea. And there's not really just one verse that says this. This is really kind of the sum of all these things when you add them up. That he has no limits. There are no limits to him. There's nothing that in any way taxes him. On the day that he spoke forth on the first day, and the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day of creation. And as he spoke each day, all these amazing things came into existence. A universe that is so vast that we can't even begin to comprehend it. When he spoke those things into existence each day, he was not tired at the end of the day. He wasn't like us. We go to work, we get home, we're like, whew, it's time to sit down. You know, it's been a rough day. When God got to the end of each of those 6 days, he didn't go, whew, it's been a rough day. I created the sun and the moon and all the stars today. That was a big day. He's not like that. He's infinite. No matter how much energy he exerts, no matter how much he creates in any given moment, no matter what he does, he's no less afterwards than he was before. There's no limits to his power. There's no limits to his knowledge. There's no limits to his ability. There's no limits to his love. There's no limits to his holiness. There's no limits to anything about him. Just like we are so bound by time, and it's hard for us to imagine eternal, we're so bound by limits. It's hard for us to imagine infinite as well. But our God is bound by no limits. Another interesting thing about this God that we believe in is that he is unchanging. He says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change," in Malachi 3:6. And then in Hebrews 13:8 it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And when you think about God being self-existent, him being eternal, and him being infinite in every way, no limits at all, this idea of being unchanging really makes a lot of sense. If God knows everything, he can't learn, right? So he can't change by learning. If God has all power, he can't change by getting stronger. He can't change by getting weaker. If God knows the past and the future all at the same time, he can't be surprised by anything that goes on. There's nothing about God that changes. He has always been like he is. He is as he is today, and he always will be as he is. There are a lot of things about that that are very comforting. Our God will always be loving, just like he is now. He will always be merciful. There are things to fear as well. He will always be just and he will always be holy. That will never change either. Therefore, sin is unacceptable to him. It always has been, always will be. Our God never changes, never learns, never grows, never decreases, never increases. He just is. Because he's infinite in every way, there's no way for him to be diminished. There's no way for him to be improved upon. The next thing about our God is he's omniscient. So omniscient means, or omni means all. So we'll see that in a few words here. And then omniscience means knowledge or knowing, kind of like being conscious. So our God is all-knowing. In Isaiah 40, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding?" These are rhetorical questions where the obvious answer is nobody. God knows everything. There is nothing that he ever learns. He's never taught anything. He's never instructed in any way. He's never given counsel by anyone. Nobody can counsel him and give him advice on how to do things. He knows everything, and he knows how to do everything, and he knows the right answer to everything and the right wise way to do everything. Nobody ever adds to God in terms of knowledge or wisdom or advice or counsel. Nobody instructs him. He never learns anything. Next, our God is omnipotent. That means he has all potence or all power. In Revelation 19:6, it says, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." If you're familiar with the Hallelujah chorus from Handel's Messiah, that's that. Over and over they sing this. "Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." That is such a comforting thing, right? That the Lord God, who is omnipotent, who is infinite in power, is the one who reigns over everything. Because he is infinite in power, he never lacks the ability to accomplish anything that he wants to accomplish. In everything that he sets himself to, every task that he undertakes throughout all of creation, does not diminish him in any way, does not make him tired, does not make him have less energy or less power. He gives, and everyone who has power or energy receives it from him, and in no way does it diminish him. He has all power, and he is the one who reigns, and he has the ability to produce all that he wills to produce. Next, this God that we believe in is omnipresent. He is all present in all places. There is no place that God is unaware of. There is no person who is in a place where God cannot see them and perceive them and understand them fully. Not just know that they're there, but know everything about them and everything that's going on. And there's places where you kind of see these things come together where it talks about that if God cares about the birds, and he knows every time a bird hops, if God cares about the hairs on your head, right, and he has them all numbered, and it's not just that he's counted them, but each one of them has an individual number. And he knows when number 1,000 fell out of my head, and when number 10,000, and when number 5,642 fell out. He knows every hair, they're all numbered. He is everywhere and knows everything about what's going on. He is present everywhere fully. Not just that he is aware of the things, but he is fully present everywhere. So in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, says, the psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, well, you are there. There you are. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall be." So if I fly up in the air, if I go all the way to the bottom of the ocean, you're still right there. "Even there your hand shall be with me, and your right hand shall hold me." God is everywhere present. That can be a very comforting thing as well. Everywhere we are, he's always right there. His hand will lead us, and his hand will hold us and protect us. It's interesting to think about the fact that God is present in hell as well as in heaven. Hell is a place that was designed to contain creatures. It doesn't contain God, and God isn't, you know, punished in hell in any way. But he is present there making hell operate, just like he's present in heaven making heaven operate. He is the one that makes all things happen. He is everywhere. There is no place that he is not, and he is aware of all that's going on there, and he is. It is his power that's causing all these things to function. So these have been kind of things about God. What he's like, he's three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's self-existent. He's always been. He's eternal. He exists because he just does. And everything else that exists because he created it. He's infinite. He's unchanging. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere present. These next few things are going to be things about kind of his character in terms of how he interacts with us and with his creation. First one is just. He's his justice. He's a just God. In Genesis 18:25, it says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this." And this is the situation where he's telling Abraham that he's going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy these cities. Remember, Abraham had the discussion with him and said, "Well, God, would you spare the city if you found 50 people and then 40 people and 30 people?" That whole discussion. So this is how Abraham has the discussion with God. He says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing. You're a just God. You do the right thing. To slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And you can see in that discussion that he had with him that he will do right. He was willing to spare the whole city for a small number of just people in those cities. And that he would never punish the just along with the unjust. Our God is a God who does the right thing and always does the right thing. The scriptures talks about how he is no respecter of persons. And that, we talk about that in our judicial, that our judicial should not be a respecter of persons. So the statue you see has, you know, the scales to judge the evidence, but the statue of justice in our country also has a blindfold around her head, right? So that she can't see who it is that she's judging and will not show partiality to anyone. That idea came from the Bible about God. God shows no partiality or just or prejudice or respect towards any person. He is completely just. He does the right thing at all times. That means that he will punish the wicked. That means that he will save those who have believed on him and become righteous through belief. He does what is right. But not only does he do what is right, and if he just did that by itself, we would be in a bad shape. Because if he only did what was right from the beginning, without any other consideration, he would have condemned all of us to hell. But because not only does he do what is right, but he is also merciful and loving, he has provided a way for us to be saved. So God is just, but he's also merciful. In Psalm 103:8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." When you read through the Old Testament, you see this over and over and over with Israel. He would show them mercy, and then they would turn right around and basically spit in his face. And then he would deal with them, and then he would bring them back, and he would show them mercy again. And he did it over and over and over and over again. And he's not through with Israel. There's going to be a time in the future when he's going to bring them back to himself yet again and show them more mercy. He is a merciful God who is gracious and slow to anger, and he is abounding in mercy. He gives us salvation when what we deserve is justice. But even when he does that, even when he provides a way for us to be saved from our sins, he does it in a way that's just and right. And the way that he did that was he justly punishes every sin that every person commits with his full wrath on that sin. That justice and that wrath is executed against either the person who committed the sin or Jesus, who took their sin upon himself because that person believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But every sin, he never lets one sin go. None of them are just ignored. Every sin he is just. Every sin he punishes with his full wrath. But he's also merciful. Therefore, he sent his Son to die for us, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He put the punishment for those sins on Jesus. He was still just and merciful. That was the way he was able to be both. Next, he's a loving God. 1 John 4:16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." God is love. He is a loving God. And we already talked about John 3:16. He loved the world so much that he was willing to satisfy his justice for our sins by executing it on his own Son. It was his love that motivated him to show us mercy and to punish his own Son for our sins. This is the kind of love that he has. It's an infinite love. Just like everything about him is infinite, his justice is infinite, his mercy is infinite, and his love is infinite. And the plan that he came up with was Jesus dying for our sins to satisfy all of these things at once. He loves us in a way that is for our benefit. There's something about God's love that is not just a feeling, but it is an action. It is a doing things for the benefit of the one that he loves. Next, our God is a holy God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this scene is going on in heaven, and it's recorded in Revelation 4:8. There are, around the throne of God, four living creatures, and these living creatures are angelic beings. They're kind of odd looking, but they are flying, and they're saying this constantly, all the time. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Our God is a holy God. And what that means is that he is completely separated from our sinfulness. He is completely pure and without sin at all. He is very different than us in that way. And the purity of God and His holiness is the reason why He cannot just accept our sin. And it's also the reason why He can't just overlook our sin. Because He is a holy God, because He has to be completely separate from sin, and He hates sin, and His holiness and His presence would destroy anything sinful that comes into His presence. Because He is that holy, He cannot have anything to do with sin. He had to come up with a way to deal with that sin in a just and right way. And again, He did that through Jesus. So you see here the kind of the amazing, because of his great knowledge and wisdom, the Bible talks about that it was in the wisdom of God. That's one of the great examples of God's wisdom, is how He provided for our sins to be saved through Jesus. How He came up with a plan that would take into consideration His holiness, take into consideration His justice, which just those two by themselves would have caused Him to just destroy all of humanity because of our sinfulness. But yet also take into consideration His love for us and His mercy. All those things combined are shown through what Jesus did for us on the cross. It made it possible for us to become His children. The last thing that we're going to talk about Him is His sovereignty. He says, "For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure." God is in absolute authority. He is sovereign. He has all authority, and every authority that any other being has in all of creation has that authority because it was delegated to them. World leaders are world leaders because God put them in place. World leaders stop being world leaders because God takes them out of that place. The scriptures teaches that all through. All that goes on in all of creation, God is sovereign over it. He is the authority. And there is no other. There's no other. He is God, and there is no other. There is none like Him. It says He declared the end from the beginning. This old idea, if He's always existed, He created it, He declared how it would end from the beginning. From ancient times, things that are not yet done, say, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. His counsel, nobody counseled Him. Nobody gave Him advice. Nobody showed Him how to do these things. He knew how to do them. It was His counsel, and He will do His will or His pleasure. These are just a few things about our God. These are just kind of some when people have studied the Bible and try to distill out things about God, this is a list of the kinds of things that they find and the kinds of ways that we describe Him when we try to think about what He's really like. This is a really short list. There's a whole lot more to God than even this. And when you talk about a being being infinite, you can't really even describe Him in this short list of things. But even though this is a short list, this is an amazing list. I mean, our God is an incredible God. And when we think about our God being like this, when I think about what my God is actually like, and then I look back over my day today and think about all the things that I did, oftentimes I have to look at myself and go, really? I mean, you chose to do that thing that was a complete waste of time, that was completely selfish. It was just about you fulfilling your own desires. That was how you chose to spend those 2 hours of your day. When you have a God that is like this, that you could have been spending time with, you know, think about that. Let's just think about what our God is like and what it would, if we really perceive Him deeply, if we allow the Holy Spirit who lives within us, that has all these same attributes, to give us revelation about our God and what He's really like, how would we act differently? This is what the God that we believe in is like. He's incredible. He's always been. Nothing made him. He didn't come from anywhere. He didn't come from anything. There's no origin to God. There's no material. He isn't made of anything. He just is. I am who I am. He is who he is. He, in every aspect, there is no limit to him. Nothing constrains him in any way. Nothing constrains his power, his knowledge, his presence, his love, his holiness, his mercy, his sovereignty and authority. Nothing constrains him. In every way, there is no limits to him. And this never changes. He's always that way. He always has been that way. He always will be that way. He knows everything. No thought, no momentary anything gets past his consciousness, his knowing. And it's not just that it's cataloged there back in the back of his mind some way. He is conscious of these things. He perceives them fully. He has all power. He has so much power that we can't even comprehend the power that our sun has. But in a word, he spoke into existence. All the stars in the universe, there's just a dramatic amount of power, and it did not diminish his power at all. Our God, because he is holy and just and has the authority to do so because he's sovereign, could have destroyed us all because of our sin. Sent every single one of us to hell. Yet he is a God who is love. He's not just loving. He is love. There's a difference, right? He is merciful, slow to anger, willing to send his own son to take our sins upon himself and then him be able to be just and punish every sin that every person commits fully as he should as a holy God. Yet still be able to save some of us. Because some of that punishment is taken by his own son, by his own self, in God the Son. And then instead of going, ooh, they're so nasty and sinful, I don't want to have anything to do with them. One day when they get to heaven and they're all cleaned up, then I'll have something to do with them and we'll spend eternity together in heaven. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, another part of myself, to actually go and live in their bodies now, not in the future, when after he cleans us up, makes us like Jesus, now. And he lives within us. And that God that lives within us is just like this. He's all of these things in the same way. And he lives in our bodies all day, every day. When we think about that, that's what our God is like. That's what he has done for us through his son. That's what he's doing for us right now through his spirit. When I think about that's what my God is like, and then I think about how oftentimes I live my life, I'm like, really? Really, Anthony? Is that the best you can do for this God that is yours and calls you his child? And is willing to say that you are his? And that is that the best you can do? Really?